Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, stand-up comedian Andy Kindler is coming to Space in Evanston. He's going to be there on April 5th. Kindler is a well-known comedian who can be seen on stage regularly in L.A. and in New York and on television all over late-night TV, as well as Mark Maron's friend on IFC's Maron. And he can be heard voicing Mort on the Fox hit Bob's Burgers. Also, every summer in Montreal, Kindler takes to the Just for Laughs Festival stage to deliver the state of the industry. Andy Kindler, welcome to The Download.
I like everything that was said about me. I agree with it. And it's the kind of thing where I'm almost afraid, how could I top that intro?
It's maybe all facts. It's all facts, man.
I was Beretta on the original Beretta. You don't hear much about Beretta anymore.
You don't. No, you don't.
No.
For you, how often do you get through Chicago?
I actually get through a decent amount, and I've been coming to Chicago in one form or another since the 90s, although one time I asked the club if it would be all right if I didn't play the Sunday, so they prorated me.
For you, yeah. I mean, you've been able to perform stand-up comedy throughout, you know, like you just mentioned, the 90s up till now. I mean, New York, L.A., all around the country. And you do the state of the industry at the Just for Laughs Festival. I mean, you must see so many changes and pay attention to so many different trends when it comes to performing live on stage in America.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that I give this speech every year in Montreal about what's wrong with comedy. And when I started in the 90s, there was so much wrong with comedy that it was, fun. And now it's harder to find that. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of good news, but I think we have a very good environment, and maybe the best environment I've ever seen for comedy. So, like, the clubs I'm coming to, like, I've never been to this place called Space, but I'm noticing when I go on the road that people tend to know what they're going to see. Well, that's one big revolution. When I was in the 90s, you really couldn't go online and see a piece of a comics act, so people didn't know what they were seeing. It'd be, you know, be like telling people, hey, come to the movie theater, but then what movie's playing? You like movies, right? Come on. So I think actually the it's much better. Everything is much better now except for Jimmy Fallon.
It's actually probably the internet helps a comedian develop a following. People like your style, like your voice, and they're going to seek you out as opposed to just going to a comedy club for a night.
Yeah, Twitter and social networking in general have been both a revolution and what I assume will kill me, because I end up arguing with people on Twitter. They could be a robot. It could be a software program. It could be an alien arguing with me. And so it's a great place to try it, not just try, you know, to try and be funny and all the and try and get promote yourself. And then 4 years later, you realize that you haven't left your house.
Well, there's something to that, because we talk to different comedians who say, you know, you got to have a Twitter profile, you got to have, you know, a YouTube channel, you have to have Facebook, Instagram, you have to get on podcasts. I mean, there seems to be a whole new formula for the way that comedians are approaching success.
Well, it's also generational, and I just like to say things like it's only generational to give the impression that I'm intelligent. Well, it's very generational. You know, but the kids today, I'm so old, I really am old, and I want everybody to know it. But don't feel like when you come out to see me that I'll collapse on stage, because I'm ambulatory and I'm upbeat. But younger, the kids today, a lot of the kids, they grew up very much, they all had video cameras, they all had phones, and they all also, some people are motivated to make short, especially people do more sketch stuff or character stuff, they're more motivated to make short films and stuff like that. I never was like that. Anytime I would do a project that would involve shooting and cameras, it always takes me like a year.
Yeah.
So
right.
It really depends on. So I wouldn't. I probably am not going to have a YouTube channel unless you want. If you're looking for a place with not a lot of programming. But I'm more verbal too. So like I've done jokes on Twitter. Like I did a joke on Twitter that I didn't even know it was a joke really until my nephew said I should do it as a joke, and so it was originally a tweet, and then I put it in the act, and the tweet was I believe it was the great philosopher Descartes who said, I think, therefore am I right, ladies?
Right.
So that's an example of but then a lot of times tweets don't work out into jokes, but that's I'm more use it for that kind of thing. then I have my own YouTube channel. But everything is changing too fast, too. So another problem for me is if you text me and I don't immediately respond, I will never find that text again. It is on the area of my phone, stored with a million, you know. So everything's like that. Facebook, I'm frightened of now.
You're frightened?
Yeah, because Facebook, you say something, then everyone gathers underneath the comment. They have an argument. And then the other part of Facebook is everyone telling you what tragedy happened.
Yeah, right. That's you pretty much nailed it. I think that's what Facebook's used for.
And also, like, remember that person I told you about who passed away, my distant relative who you couldn't possibly know? Would you like to see a picture of them in the Navy?
That is true. I think I saw one of those today. I did, yeah.
Then people say to me, my uncle died. I wanted to put a picture of one. I said, okay, I'm not, please, don't not allow my horrible attitude to affect your experience.
Right. For you, I mean, being an esteemed stand-up comedian, you know, a lot of these younger comedians that come through, 19, 20 years old, they have, like you said, they're different generations, so they're having more success with characters and sketches online, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all the way down. Do you have to teach them about the work ethic of a stand-up comedian or what it takes to actually put together a good 10, 15-minute set?
Well, that's something. If I was one of these people who walked around yelling, hey, get off my comedy lawn.
Yeah.
No one would want to be.
Right.
No one would want to be around me. So I only try and dissuade people when I see, and if they ask me for help, people all the time. And I was like this too when you start out. But at any time, you always have to watch how much is what you're doing worried about how famous you are or whether you're making a living yet, because those are the types of things that will drive you crazy. Anybody who says they don't want to have fame or they don't want to get more popular is lying, unless they're, well, maybe there's one person. Everybody wants to get more recognition and more stuff, you know, more ways to make a living.
Yeah.
But that can't overwhelm what your original reason for getting into comedy was, which is, of course, you like to make people laugh. And I think every time period has its ups and downs. It's like right now, yeah, you can make not vines maybe, but you can make all these different things, but there's also a million people making all these different things. So I had more of an advantage when I started where there were a lot of TV shows on the air I could do that were comedy, and there were a lot of more gigs. But now it's better because you can kind of say whatever you want. Things are much more open. You know, there's different ways of doing things. So it's like there's always positive and negatives. But definitely people should not worry about the externals. If I worry about the externals of my career, I would not be performing today.
Well, you know, you've
been doing it 30 years.
I mean, 30 years. I mean, and one of the ways you made your name, and this is, you know, it's somewhat controversial, is that you're sort of the pioneer of making fun of other comics, making fun of other acts. You mentioned a little bit earlier, Jimmy Fallon, but that was almost a taboo thing when you started, that there was a unwritten rule that you're not supposed to make fun of the people who are before you or the people who are famous at the time doing comedy. What made you cross over that line, and what was the pushback from that?
Well, and, you know, I don't want to say I was the first person to talk about other comics, but I certainly got addicted to it. I mean, I remember watching George Miller in the 90s go out and say, we just got back from a meeting where we decided that Robin Williams isn't a genius, just merely annoying. Now, now, of course, I just realized that Robin Williams passed away. So sometimes I bring up painful things.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's an example of...
We get the
there
idea.
Are
yeah.
other, there are other comics. I mean, I used to do a lot of jokes about Robin Williams. I have to stop myself because at some points now it's like, you know, you literally are piling on when someone's passed away. But there is this kind of thing like you can make fun of Madonna for hours. You can make fun of Michael Jackson for hours. But if you go against another comic, you're breaking some unwritten code. So I never bought into that code, but I certainly have felt the wrath of the people I've gone after, or at least the fear of seeing them for real. So it just is like something that never should have been a rule, and I don't know that, and I'm not the first comic to break the rule. I mean, I think Chris Rock did it, and he's done that too, but I'm more famous than him. No, I got that wrong. But definitely, and the thing is, like I've been saying about Fallon, you know, if I'm on my deathbed, I don't want the TV on because I don't want my last words to be, can you please turn Jimmy Fallon down? Does everything have to be upbeat, even my death? So a lot of times, like, I'm making a comment, and also sometimes I make comments about people who I used to like, but then I think they went to the dark side. So, like, I loved Adam Sandler, but then when he started making these series of terrible movies, I started to make fun of him, and he definitely didn't like that.
No. You just gotta...
And Leno, I had to make fun of, because Letterman should have gotten The Tonight Show. Everybody wanted him to get it, and the universe wanted him to get it, and Leno had to stick his chin in.
Well, there's one thing. I mean, it's one thing, because the industry is going to scoff at that, this unwritten rule, or other comedians. But the consumer, the people at home who are watching your set, Andy Kindler's set, they're thinking the same thing. Or they like your, you know, maybe they don't like Jay Leno. Maybe they don't like Jimmy Fallon. But there seems to be more of a connection to the audience at home as opposed to the people on the side of you or your peers in Hollywood.
Right. And you have to, and the thing is, ultimately, I consider myself a combination of fearless and very fearful. You know, it's like sometimes I'm fearless, sometimes I'm fearful. I don't want anybody not to like me. But the truth is like one time Letterman used to say this when he would do like a, you know, like a mean kind of joke. He would say after, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought this was a roast." And on a level, yeah, right. On that level, I really am. There really isn't anything personal. I mean, Leno to me is not Trump. I mean, Trump to me is someone who I literally hate and fear could win or something. Whereas Leno is just ruining comedy.
Yeah, big. Andy, you know, one thing, you star as Mark Maron's friend on Maron on IFC, and that reminds me of, you know, a lot of the comics that, especially of your generation, that are succeeding right now with their own television shows. Mark Maron, Louis C.K., even what we just saw with Louis C.K. and Zach Galifianakis with Baskets, they're creating a television program that is half comedy, half drama. So I guess dramedy, but there's so much more about the miserable side of comedians. We saw it in the show Louis. We see it a little bit in Maron. Talk about that. I mean, that seems to be where that generation is sort of moving or gravitating to. What's your thought on that?
I think it always reflects the sensibility of the comedian. So, like, to me, Larry Sanders, I mean, there's so many shows that I hold up as, like, brilliant shows. I love Seinfeld, but I also love Larry. And Larry Sanders was a perfect example of, say, what would happen on Baskets, which is, you know, I mean, it's totally different shows, but there were these moments where they're just uncomfortable real-life moments played out. And I've always, you know, I grew up on Woody Allen movies like Annie Hall in Manhattan and also on Albert Brooks movies. Mm-hmm. So I always loved when the comedy comes out of the relationships. I mean, that's what I think situation comedies that I grew up watching even as a kid, Mary Tyler Moore and all the Bob Newhart, all those shows seemed to be real to me. I mean, I knew they weren't real or All in the Family, but they seemed that the comedy came from reality. And so I think that is a very exciting thing that Zach can do a show like Baskets, and it doesn't have to be, not only doesn't have to be laugh a minute, it really can service what I think Zach does, that's like W.C. Fields or great physical comedians. You really do get laughs from him just from seeing how he physically reacts to things. So I think there's nothing but good news in that. Except I don't have a show.
When are we going to get the Andy Kindler show? When's that?
Well, I keep having various different forms of it, but for many years I tried to couch it like Maron would do, but I can't couch it anymore. So it just has to be a show where it's just me and I think mocking TV, and I've made various forms of that, and so far no one's buying it.
Well, we'll buy it at Space in Evanston on April 5th. Andy Kindler's coming to the Chicago area, stand-up comedian, television star, and you can find him at the Just for Last Festival every year, giving the state of the industry. Andy, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us tonight.
Hey, this was really fun. I had a fantastic time.